Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Now let us sing, congregation, from Psalter 3, the stanzas 3 and 4. This his word shall be made known, this Jehovah's firm decree. Thou art my beloved Son, yea, I have begotten thee. All the earth at thy request I will give thee for thy own, then thy might shall be confessed, and thy foes be overthrown. Psalter 3, the stanzas 3 and 4.
Scripture reading this morning you can find in Luke 2, verse 1 to 14, but first the Ten Commandments of the Lord. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy man and servant, nor thy maid servant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So far.
We wish to remember in prayer that this morning Nathan, infant son of Mr. and Mrs. Kevin Van Manen, who is still in the hospital, and also Mr. Johan Mons, 86 years old today, Mrs. Yanni Bazoyan, 71, on Friday, and Mr. and Mrs. Willard Mons were blessed with the birth of a baby girl. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing upon our gathering. Lord of heaven and of the earth, thou who art the Almighty God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, let it not be evil in thy most holy sight, that we draw nigh unto thee in the morning of this very special Sabbath day. Lord, it is a wonder that we may be together in thy house of prayer, and that thy word may come unto us. Lord, give yet that it may be a day of thy good pleasure, where we may remember, as we look backward, the birth of the only begotten Son of God, and that he has come into this world to suffer and to die and to pay the price for his people. Lord, that thou would yet make manifested unto our hearts of what this day really meant, and of what had taken place. Oh, it was prophesied that Christ would be born, and the Advent weeks have gone past. And now, Lord, we may remember today that Christ had been born, and that he had come in the flesh. Lord, give an impression of it, that he who is the Son of God, that he may yet come here upon this earth, and that he had come to pay the price to redeem his people. Lord, wilt thou then grant unto us in this day an impression of thy might, of thy majesty, of thy glory, and that it may be on this day that thou would be pleased to work almightily in the hearts of sinners, that sons and daughters may be born in Zion. Lord, thou art that the the Almighty God, and in thee do we live, move, and have our being. Also on this special day, The sacrament of baptism is to be administered, and Lord, that thou would yet use this sacrament in the hearts of thy people to remind them of what had taken place. And now these babies that are to be baptized, and a mark would be placed upon their forehead, all that it may be seen that thou art still the same God, the Almighty God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Come then and dwell among us, and that we may have an impression as we see the water of baptism, that it is to wash, to cleanse us from all of our sin. Lord, grant then that it may be to thy honor and to thy glory. Wilt thou remember the little ones still in the hospital? Lord, thou knowest his condition. Wilt thou yet spare life and grant that it may be healed in due time? Remember others, Lord, who have been in and out of the hospital. Wilt thou help them and care for them? There are those that have been in the hospital for some time. We think of the student Braun. Lord, wilt thou be mindful of him and that thou may help him? And if it is thy holy counsel, that thou would make it well, and that for time and for eternity. Wilt thou be mindful also of him who is 86 today? Lord, a high age that he may reach, wilt thou sanctify it? And another 71 years old, that is also a milestone in life. Lord, make it well and help yet in all of these ways. We think also of another child born. Wilt thou remember that child, that it may be born to be born again? It is all in thy hand. Lord, wilt thou care for him? And wilt thou yet bless this newborn that has come into life? Remember all the widows, the widowers, all those that are looking and needing thy help. Wilt thou care for each one? Wilt thou supply unto them what they need? Lord, Lord, remember then all that is to take place in this day, and that it is thy holy day, that it is thy precious day, and it is a day that thou canst come and regenerate the sinner. Wilt thou then care for young and old? Remember parents and family. Look upon them, care for them, and give unto them what they need. The needs are many, but thou art great. Help then in all of these ways. Care for us. And Lord, give that we may look to thee for all our help. To whom else shall we go? Thou art the words of eternal life. And it is in thee and through thee that there is a way to escape the wrath to come. Oh, give yet an impression of it. Give that we may look to that only Savior, that we remember on this day, and that it may be this one and that one may receive an encouragement today. This one or that one may be born in Zion, and that it might be to the extension of thy kingdom and to the glory of thy holy name. Go with us then, Lord, in this day, and give that thy spirit may reign and rule among us, and that thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Help, Lord, in this Sabbath day, and manifest thy name and thyself. Forgive our sins. We ask this alone in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us continue with the singing of the Song of Mary. The Song of Mary, and the extra collection today is for the school. The Song of Mary, our souls shall magnify the Lord. In God the Savior we rejoice. While we repeat the Virgin's song, may the same Spirit tune our voice. The Song of Mary, the whatever stanzas are needed. Dear congregation, today we may remember the incarnation of the Son of God. We have many days in each year, but each 25th of December, then we remember what had taken place so many years ago. And then when we think back just a little bit of the Advent season that it was spoken of by Moses even and the prophets that foretold of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then also of the prophets and how they had also mentioned it, how the angel Gabriel appeared unto Mary in Matthew 1. Then we read that. And thus, even with the birth of Christ, how the angels did sing. And then there was the birth of the Lord of glory, and we can hardly imagine in our own thoughts that Christ Jesus, as the only begotten Son of God, that he left his throne of glory in heaven to tabernacle here upon the earth with men. That is so far above our comprehension of what had taken place. But when he was born, then not many different things had taken place. And this morning, then we, with God's help, wish to mention something about one. And thus, our text words you may find this morning in Luke 2, verse 7. These words, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Thus, we find here, especially in our text words this morning, that it says there was no room for them in the inn. And then we see it in this on this day, that they had a journey that they had to take. And at the end of that journey, in the second place, there was no room for them in the inn. Thus, no room for them in the inn. And their journey, and then what does that mean? That there was no room for them. What we find mentioned in God's word is very precious, is very astounding unto us, because it is in God's providence, it was in God's providence, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Thus, it was a taxing in the time of Cyrenius, who was governor of Syria. Thus, at this time, then a taxing went forth, not because the urge for money was so great, but taxing had gone forth according to God's eternal decree. And when we think of that, then the birth of the Son of God that had taken place because of the prophecies that were given also in this time. The bread of life had to be in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem means bread. And now the only begotten Son of God then he had to be in Bethlehem just at this time because of what is written of this taxing. Was that a thing also of Caesar Augustus? Was this just some taxing that came along? Well, it was a taxing that they had to be in the city that they were born. And thus, in God's eternal plan, then everything had to be done just in a certain way. And in God's eternal providence, then also there we see that it had to be right at this time, this taxing, so that Joseph and Mary would come into Bethlehem, the place of their birth. And now Joseph and Mary, they had resided in Nazareth, of course. Caesar Augustus gave out this taxing. Find it in Luke 2. And this taxing that required all of them in the known world that they had to go to their place. And Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem. And these travelers, they were, there's very little information given of them. But we do read about it in Matthew 1. And there we read about Joseph and what it says here. But while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So special was the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was an upright man. We read in verse 20, that he thought on these things. No, in 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But then it says, now when all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, and that is, behold, the virgin shall conceive. Thus, in a very special way, then we see here what is taking place, that Joseph and Mary had to get to Bethlehem, had to be in the place of birth, of their birth. And then it says here, back in Matthew 1, all this was done when might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying. But they were betrothed at this time. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But what we see here, what is that betrothing? That betrothing is that by a piece of paper or a ring, then they are set apart according to the law of Moses and Israel. So that betrothing was a very special thing. It was binding. And now they had to be bound. He already called her husband, but they were bound by that betrothing. And then in that binding, they could not separate. It was so strong in that time. And now when we read in our text what it says, and especially about that there was no room for them, then how do we see that? Well, if we think of the distance between Bethlehem and Nazareth, it was a great distance. How far was that? That was about 70 miles. A distance that was a long trip in those days. They most likely passed through many villages, many small towns. The commentaries list Tabor, Nain, Shunan, and several other towns that they had passed through. And then finally they come to a place, the end of their journey, which is Bethlehem. But now, when they have come to Bethlehem, and then it says in our text here, no room, there was no room for them in the inn. We have a lot of history in Luke 2 about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're traveling, you see them going, you see what's taking place. It's a hard trip. It is a woman with child, ready to give birth to a child. And then they come to the place where they have to be. And then they arrive there, and there's an inn, but there is no room for them. And when we read that congregation, no room for them, that means possibly there's room for other people. Possibly for the rich, because Joseph and Mary were poor people. And now, when there was room for others, there was room for wealthy ones, but there's no room for them. Now, what does that do to us? How does that point to every one of us? It points to us, congregation, that there's no room in this heart of ours for Christ Jesus. There is no room for an almighty God. There is no room by nature for that work of regeneration. There is no room in this heart by nature of the work of grace that the Holy Spirit works in the soul. And thus, when we see that, then here already in Luke 2, then it is being said unto us, no room for them, no room for them, but that's just a picture of what we are by nature when it comes no room for them in this heart of ours. Do we really believe it? Do we really understand something of it? Is it really so that on this Christmas day that we would say, yes, oh, but there is room in this heart for him? Yeah? Well, search your heart out. Search your heart how it is between the Lord and your soul. That there's no room. Oh, by nature man loves the things of this world. By nature man loves all the festivities of this world. But now to lay everything down, to put all our weapons down, congregation, and then to seek the God of all grace, and to beg of him that he may yet incline the heart, to ask that he would yet come and work mightily within the soul, then there is room. And how does that come? How does that come about that there is room? Oh, then the Lord makes room in the heart. We have to be stripped of self. We have to be stripped of everything of ourselves. And then the Lord makes room in the heart for himself. And when he makes room, then it's a willing people in the day of his power. So it is that an almighty God works within the soul. Now when we find and we think of that for them, so possible it is that there's room for everything else. But here, the servant of the Father, the only begotten Son of God, no room. Oh, if the high priest come by, there would be room. If others would come by, there would be room. But the eternal Son of God, then it tells us that there is no room for him. For what else? What else is covered by that for them? No room for them. And then also is covered their congregation, that the mediator, the surety, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that there is no room for him, but everything else. And what a necessity is caused by the birth of the Son of God. We cannot die without that blood, that water that points to the blood. We cannot die and enter into glory without the work of the mediator, of him of whom they remember on this day, that he was born, that he came into this world, but there was no room for them. And thus, congregation, then if we think of it, the necessity of Christ coming in this world, the necessity of his birth, the necessity of him being in Bethlehem, the necessity that he would grow and 12 years old, come in the temple, the necessity that he would yet suffer and die to pay the price for sinners. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then it says here, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She brought forth her firstborn son. She said, and then wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And then if we think of the poverty laid upon the only begotten Son of God. What a wonder, congregation, if we may see into it a little. The humble birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was a poor honor to be the firstborn of a poor woman. Oh, they looked at it so much in Israel. Then in Israel, they would, the firstborn, if it was from a wealthy family, then it would be honored and be glorified. But of a poor woman who probably hardly had anything. But a poor woman brought forth her firstborn son. And then when we see that congregation, the Lord of glory and his humble birth. Can we begin to imagine that? Can we begin to realize what really was taking place and what happened? And then wrapped him in swaddling clothes. He who was to suffer and die and pay the price for all of his people over the length and breadth of the earth. And then wrapped him in swaddling clothes. So poor. And what was that swaddling clothes? That was just strips of cloth. That's what it was. Was for the poorest of the poor that they would use. And then it says, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Thus, what is seen here is the degeneracy of this time. How do we see that? Just in a natural way. That Christ was to be born. There was no eye to see who he was. Mary had a promise. The angel appeared unto her. But no one else had seen the value of this birth. Yes, soon then the angels had come and they sang for him. You heard it in the verses of Luke 2. Then later on the shepherds had come to visit him. And the wise men had brought their gifts. But now here, born at an inn, not in the inn. Think of it. Born at an inn. There was a place there. And their people could stay. Now at the inn they could be born. But not in the inn. No room for them. But the Lord took care of his own. The Lord took care of his only begotten son. And then what is seen here? Sometimes we speak about Christ and the state of his humiliation and then the states of his exaltation. But what do we see here really? We see here a low part of humiliation, his humble birth. And when we see his humiliation, well, by sin we are a cast out people. But here now, Christ is taken and laid in the manger to purchase room in the house of his Father. Think of it. The Almighty God that had come from heaven, he kept his divine decree, his divine wisdom. He never lost his divine, his Godhead, no. And then he had come here upon this earth in such a way, and that he never lost, but in his human nature, that human nature that he took on from the Virgin Mary. And now, when he came into this world, in with his human nature, then he had come to pay the price. Eventually, he come to pay the price for sinners. Now when Christ came here upon this earth, and he came physically, did he suffer only in his human nature or in his human and divine? It's impossible for God to suffer. For the human nature, that can. For the divine nature, no. That's perfect. And that is upheld. But in his human nature, still was no sin. And he still suffered and died and paid the price for sinners. Thus, when we see that, we have it in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. We read that there was no room for them. The poverty that came over him. So poor. No room in that inn. And then in another place we read something special. And what do we read in another place? Then we read, in the house of my Father are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And when I have prepared a place for you, I will come again. Thus, then he had spoken there. He merited. We merit nothing but to be cast out. But Christ merited everything by his atoning work. Thus, in the condescension of the only begotten Son of God. How do we see that? Well, I mentioned it. He dwelt in the bosom of the Father from eternity. As God the Father has no beginning, so God the Son has no beginning. But he had come in the fullness of time, and he had come that he may yet pay the price to redeem his church. Christ's exclusion from the end. What does that really show? It shows the moral condition of the time. The exclusion of the babe of Bethlehem. What results that has. Christ excluded in Bethlehem. Christ excluded from the inn. And so it is by nature of man that they exclude the only begotten Son of God, who is the all in it all. And then no room for them. And it says, for your sakes he became poor. The creator of heaven and earth, he became poor. The creator of heaven and earth, he had to be carried in his mother's arms because Mary brought forth her firstborn son. It says that so poor was it at that time. We have a text that says that the foxes have their holes, the birds of the air have their nest, but the Son of Man, Son of God, has no place to lay his head. Yeah. And what do we have, congregation? And what do we have? Christ became so poor. What did he say on the cross of Calvary? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God forsaken of God. And now here on his birth, then there was no room for them. No room for Christ. No room for Mary. There was no room for them that they could enter into the inn. So poor. That he spoke, and on earth, of things that would take place. And then finally, that he was nailed to the cross. The only begotten Son of God, full of glory, but was humbled so low, that he had there was no room for him, for them in the inn. Congregation, it's Christmas 2016. How often have we heard the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? How often have we heard that he had left his tabernacle in heaven to be born here and to be placed here on this earth. And then to think, the scripture says he is altogether lovely. He is the chief among 10,000. He carries that royal priesthood. And then how he was dealt with and how they had taken care of what had happened. We find in Matthew 11, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden and I will give you rest. He came as a prophet to teach. And as a prophet, then he had to teach the wisdom of God. He had to teach his people here especially. He came as a priest that he may intercede for his people, and that he may pay the price for them, so that they may receive eternal glory. And he came as a king, that he might rule over them, govern them, lead them, and bring them forward in the right way. Thus, that great king, the great shepherd of Israel, or we may say that great physician, he can heal the body and he can heal the soul. He can do what is needed. He is that great physician. He is that balm in Gilead. He is that fountain for thirsty souls. He is the bread of life. He is everything for someone who has nothing. A great Savior for a great sinner. Have you come to that place? Have you come to such a place that you say, Lord, I am the greatest of sinners. But there is, that we may remember today, a great Savior for such sinners. How do we think of this day? And how do we go forward, congregation? It is only by God's grace that we learn our enmity. And we, by God's grace, that we learn what a sinner we are. But in him there is a fullness that never can be emptied. He is everything to a poor and a needy sinner. Here in Luke 2 it says, no room for them in the inn. Is there room in your heart? Is there room that an almighty God has made in your heart that you may see what you and I have become, and that you may be taught by grace what the work of regeneration is? And then to learn he is altogether lovely. He is the chief among 10,000. May the God of all grace, may he grant such a blessing on this Sabbath day and on this day of remembrance, that God in Christ may be everything and that I become nothing. When I become nothing, then there is hope that Christ would be everything for such a sinner. Seek him, seek after him, after his grace, and look unto him, the author and the finisher of faith. Amen. Almighty and eternal God, we come unto thee at the end of this hour. Bless the few words of this morning. Lord, be with us further. Guide, protect, and grant a token from above. Lord, give yet that thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Remember the whole congregation, especially on this day, and that the importance of this day may be thought of, and that Christ may become everything, and I become nothing. Lord, go forward with each one, and give yet that we have a place and a desire in thy house of prayer. Forgive what has been done amiss. Wash and cleanse us in thy precious blood. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us conclude with Psalter 218. And also while you're the collection will be received. Because history wishes to announce also all the male members are at the male members meeting held on December 15. The following were chosen for the office of elder, Mr. Henry DeCook and Mr. Case Oscom. For deacon, Mr. Peter Bell, Mr. Lloyd Vandenberg, and Mr. Gerard DeLeo. All have accepted their respective office. Lawful objections may be brought to the consistory before December 30. There will be a New Year's Eve service that Saturday evening on December 31 at 7 p.m., not 7:30 as listed in the church bulletin. Let us sing from Psalter 218, O Thou Great Shepherd of Thy Chosen Race. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord, and afterwards I have an announcement to make. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Dear brothers and congregation, the Lord in His good pleasure has laid upon me a sickness which has made me weak, and it has become more difficult to perform my labors. I cannot function as a shepherd and teacher as before for the congregation. The King of the Church has said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Therefore, I plan to ask for emeritus status as of this coming spring, and will not be able to continue as your shepherd and teacher. God's providence reigns and rules over all things, and the Lord has given me peace in my heart regarding this matter. We commend you to the goodness of God, and may all the glory be to His name. With brotherly greetings from myself.